This is The Sun on the Strip. Thanks for joining me. I'm Brock Radke, editor-at-large and entertainment writer for the Las Vegas Sun, and I'm going to be your host for this new weekly podcast at lasvegassun.com. We created this to keep you up to date on everything that's happening on and around the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, all the developments with hotels and casinos and entertainment and hospitality and tourism. And we're going to drop a new episode every Wednesday, starting right now. Should be lots of fun. Thanks again for joining us. Also joining me today is Ken Miller, editor of Las Vegas Magazine, which is also published here by Greenspun Media Group. Thanks, Ken, for joining me today.
No problem. Fun to be here.
How long have you, you're like me, you've been in Vegas for a long time. How long has it been now?
Moved here in 2003 from California. And I've worked for Greenspun ever since in different capacities. I started with the Las Vegas Sun, moved over to the now-defunct Las Vegas Life, spent a few years at Weekly, and now I moved to Las Vegas Magazine. And I got to tell you, I've enjoyed every single day here. I love this city, and I love the Strip.
Absolutely. I agree. We started working together, it's been more than 6 years ago now. We were both editors at Las Vegas Weekly.
Correct.
And we've both been, more recently, we've both been very focused on what's going on the Strip. So couldn't think of a better person to kick this thing off with me. I appreciate it.
Well, I'll be as informative as I can for your listeners.
So I think the big news on the Strip right now is coming from Wynn Resorts, which announced last week that its plans for the Paradise Park project have been scrapped. That project changed a lot over the course of time, but I think most recently it was a $3 billion development. They were going to build a 1,500-room hotel tower with its own dedicated convention space, a pretty major convention space expansion. Some casino stuff, some restaurants, and most famously a man-made 25-acre lagoon with various waterfront activities and a boardwalk and probably some family-friendly stuff that they could ostensibly charge admission for. It was pretty grand plans, and they've decided to go in a different direction, and they're actually going to restore the golf course that takes up that. That land. So, I mean, this was announced last week during a quarterly earnings call. Pretty big deal. I don't know how surprising it was for people on the Strip. Obviously, things are going in a different direction at Wynn Resorts these days.
Definitely.
What did you think about when those plans were first unveiled by Steve Wynn? What were your first impressions of that?
It made total sense. I mean, Steve Wynn is just, when you think Steve Wynn, you think, you know, raising the bar. Ever since he came to town, that's all he's done. I mean, you could argue that the city looks the way it does now because of Steve Wynn. And I, you know, without going into too much detail about what happened to the man or what the man has done or any of that, at the time, it seemed like, you know, a perfect match for his ambition. And I wasn't really too surprised to see that they've scaled back, and we'll see how things go forward with his group. But yeah, we could maybe be seeing the last of his, you know, grand plans being.
I think so. I think this is kind of the end, kind of a definitive end of the Steve Wynn era in Las Vegas, because everything he has done has had this sort of fantastical element to it. Starting with the Mirage, you know, the first real mega resort that changed the Strip.
Bellagio.
Forever. Fountains of Bellagio. The Treasure Island with the pirate show right there on the Strip. There's always these kind of like crazy things that attract people to come to Vegas. I have to go to Las Vegas now to see this new thing. And Paradise Park seemed like it was another version of that.
Well, I also, and you know, I guess I kind of pay attention to these things because of my job. I mean, just to fill your listeners in really quickly, our magazine, which is exclusively in rooms on the Las Vegas Strip and at properties throughout the valley, It focuses on, you know, strip entertainment almost exclusively, but here and there we'll go far afield and do maybe the occasional restaurant here or the spa there. But so I very closely follow these sorts of things, and I couldn't help but notice that the 20th anniversary of Bellagio, which was this year, I thought was very low key. And part of me just couldn't help but wonder if that had anything to do with the, you know, the Wynn name being attached to it, indirectly or directly. So it feels like a different era now.
Yeah.
For what's going on with, you know, big projects on the Las Vegas Strip. I mean, unless I'm wrong, the last major project, wasn't it Cosmopolitan? Wasn't that the last?
Right.
That was back in.
Yeah, the last.
2010?
Last ground up new casino to open would be Cosmopolitan. We've had some big resorts get the full renovation treatment, like Sahara going into SLS, for example.
Right.
But that's obviously not the same thing as building something new in terms of not only the scale of it, but the kind of excitement that it generates.
Right. Right. Now I feel that it's unfortunate what happened, and I'm glad to see that it hasn't hurt the city too much. My first initial reaction was that it could, but Las Vegas is bigger than just that one, you know, incident or incidents. Yeah. And I feel like we'll be fine. But I feel like his era could be coming to a close.
Yeah, I think so, especially when you look at the other big projects that are coming online or scheduled to come online around the same time. We did a story about this a few months ago, kind of a group feature for Las Vegas Weekly magazine, where we discussed these six huge projects that are all supposed to open in 2020 or around then sometime. And this was one of them. So that would be the Las Vegas Stadium, where the Raiders are going to move to Resorts World, and the Drew, to brand new casino resorts that are both new to Vegas operators as well.
Right.
And then the Convention Center District expansion and the MSG Sphere project, which is basically a different kind of arena. So if you group Paradise Park in with those, I think maybe Paradise Park would be the least significant in terms of the scope and the impact of those projects, which are, again, brand new resorts. I mean, the convention center thing is probably the most important of all of them, just because of the economic impact there. Venues that we don't, big event and entertainment venues that we don't have anything like those at this point. So
right. I mean, you can't really encapsulate how important conventions are to this city, right, and continue to be. And the fact that we're actually increasing the space is very encouraging, because that is a real lifeblood of Las Vegas.
Definitely. And it's worth noting also that Wynn still, the plans are still there. They're still on track to open a 400,000 square foot convention area in this space, that golf course kind of space, in January 2020. I'm sure in time for CES that year. So that's great. And also with the golf course, they are, it's probably going to be better than it was before. And it was already one of the best courses in the Valley. Tom Fazio, who's pretty much the best in the business at designing golf facilities, is back. He did it originally, and they brought him back on board to kind of reimagine it and improve it. So, and also the Wynn CEO Matt Maddox said that, you know, a big part of this decision to not move forward with the Lagoon is the fact that in December 2017, Wynn Resorts acquired the Frontier site right across the Strip. So if and when they are ready to build something in Las Vegas again, they've got that 38-acre site, which is a much better site to do something than what they were working with on the golf course land. So
it's hard to believe that area has been unused for so long. It's just prime real estate.
Yeah, definitely.
Be nice to see it be used for something soon.
We shall see. Just a few days after that official announcement came out, Wynn opened a brand new thing also on their property that hasn't gotten a lot of attention. It's called Wynn Plaza. It's basically a kind of a retail promenade. It's a $54 million project. I think it's 75,000 square feet in total. It's a lot of really high-end retail stores. There's also the first Vegas location of SoulCycle, which is a fitness, cool fitness hangout, and two new restaurants, Cipriani and Earth Cafe. Cipriani's a pretty big deal. That's like an institution. They've got locations all around the world, Dubai, Hong Kong, New York, Mexico City, all over the place. And this is the first West Coast location for that restaurant. There's also a pretty cool, I was walking down there last week right before it opened and kind of poked my head in where I shouldn't have and saw this crazy neon sign thing that they're putting in. And it turns out that thing is a art installation created by Takashi Murakami and Virgil Abloh, who are art and fashion icons, basically. So all kinds of cool stuff to see in this fancy new space, Wynn Plaza. It stretches right along Las Vegas Boulevard. It starts kind of where Wynn's main valet entrance is, and then it runs north to like right before where Encore Beach Club is. So
yeah, and while we're talking about new exciting restaurants, it joins quite a list. We've got Catch, which is opening, actually did open, at Aria. We've got Roy Choi at Park MGM. I mean, there's a lot of things to be excited about right now. I mean, for this late in the year, for us to be getting all these new arrivals, it's pretty exciting. Mm-hmm.
So that's what's going on at Wynn. Moving a little bit to the Center Strip, the newest attraction there is a zip line. It's called Fly Link. It's at the Link Promenade. It also opened officially last week, and it's different from probably the best known zip line in Vegas is the one at the Fremont Street Experience, Slotzilla. This one is,
and you also have the Voodoo zip line at Rio.
That's right. Neither of which I am interested in riding on. I don't know. I think I would do the Fremont Street Experience one. I don't know about the Rio one.
I write about these things, so I have to do it. But I'm kind of with you there.
You did the Rio zipline?
It's terrifying. Well, especially when you go backwards.
Well, you're gonna obviously you're gonna have to go do the Fly Link if you haven't done it already. It's I think it's a 12-story tower that's right there on the strip at the mouth of the Link Promenade. You get up there and you fly all the way to where the high roller observation wheel is, and I mean, it looks like fun. It seems like a crazy place to put a zip line, but they worked it out.
My hat's off to Caesars Entertainment for the Link Promenade, because I mean, when you think about what was there before, between the Flamingo and, you know, what is now the Link, it was an alleyway, and they have transformed that into a very cool and exciting and innovative space where you have all these open-air shops, you've got restaurants, you've got, you know, a concert venue, you've got just, I mean, a lot of really cool stuff. And now we've got the, you know, the zip line, which I think is 10 lines, which not a lot of waiting, I think, for that. That's a lot of lines. I think Slotzilla doesn't have quite as many. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure reservations will be required, but it just with that many lines, they'll be able to serve clientele very fast.
Yeah, they say the whole experience is like a 30-minute deal, that's really the point of all the stuff on the Link Promenade. When I did a little story for The Sun and talked to his name's Sean Swanger. He's the basically vice president in charge of all the attraction type stuff at Caesars Entertainment. And I think that is the point of the Link Promenade, is to offer these different experiences that don't take very much time. So you don't have to spend your entire day there if you have kind of a stacked itinerary for what you want to do on the strip that day. But you can hang out there all day. There's that much stuff.
Oh, you absolutely could. I've actually done that. And if anyone listening has not been out to the Link Promenade, what are you waiting for? I mean, just go out on any given day. You'll have so much fun. It's a great space.
Yeah. Like you said, a lot of great food and drink options. They also have a course, they have the high roller, but they also have a virtual reality experience called VR Adventures. And they also just opened another new thing called The Book, which is a pretty cool sports bar concept that has a self-serve beer wall and these cool little, they call them fan caves, where you kind of have your own little watch party. It's got like a living room feel to it. And the food in The Book is from a food truck called Sticky Chicken, which is pretty tasty.
That's going to be, so, it's going to be appearing in our magazine soon, actually.
That's right. It's just a lot of active stuff at the Link, the hotel and the promenade. Another thing I think about FlyLink is that I think they really want that area of the strip to be like as local friendly as possible. You can't really say there's anything on the strip that is designed for locals. That's just not the point of the strip. But we know when you have visitors, if you live here, you have visitors come into town, they're going to want to go do the FlyLink, the observation wheel, and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So if you can create these kinds of fun environments where the locals don't mind going there and hanging out, it's kind of a new audience to get into.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, let's move a little bit farther south and talk about Park MGM, which is still not done with its full-on renovation. This, of course, used to be the Monte Carlo, and it's getting close. It's almost there. By the end of the year, it should be complete. Ken, you already mentioned they have a restaurant coming from Chef Roy Choi called Best Friend that's going to be opening in the coming weeks. Eataly, the big Italian food marketplace, is right on the strip and is going to open in December as well. Their nightclub offering is called On the Record, and it's going to be opening at New Year's Eve. So, yeah, by the time 2019 rolls around, I think all the stuff at Park MGM should be pretty close to what it's supposed to be. I just attended the gala opening of Nomad Las Vegas over this past weekend. That was pretty fun. That restaurant space is incredible. I don't even really know how to describe it. It's like if you were watching a movie with an old-timey mansion and you go into the library of that mansion, that's what this restaurant looks like. It's just crazy. There's like 20,000 books, two-story shelves. There's never been a restaurant that looks like that in Las Vegas before. And you know the food's going to be great too, but very fancy stuff going on there. And then, of course, you've got new residencies at Park Theater, which is something that you are always in touch with. Lady Gaga is going to be starting New Year's weekend.
Yep, two different types of shows, by the way.
Yeah, which was I don't think people have talked about that too much. That's a first
kind
of residency thing, to break it up into different styles of performance.
When you book your tickets, you got to make sure what show you're actually booking for, because they're radically different. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's starting New Year's Eve. Britney Spears, of course, will begin performing at Park Theater in February.
Yeah, she had previously been a Caesars Entertainment performer at Planet Hollywood for, I think, six years?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and did very well. So nice to see she's sticking around, but now with MGM. So.
And then Aerosmith is going to be playing a series of shows starting in April. Joe Perry, the guitarist for Aerosmith, was hospitalized over the weekend when he was in New York. He did something. He played with Billy Joel and then had to go to the hospital, had some shortness of breath, but apparently he has recovered and is good to go. So that should be another successful series of shows as well. Certainly important, but not as exciting, is the fact that they're building a pedestrian bridge over Las Vegas Boulevard, right in front of Park MGM. So this will cross from where you enter to go into the park area over to the Showcase Mall on the other side of the street. They broke ground for this in October. This is not something that the hotels build. This is Clark County has to handle this. I think it's a $17 million bridge. But it should be huge for, if you think about all the traffic walking around down there after an event or a Golden Knights game at T-Mobile Arena, this should really alleviate that issue.
Especially if your plan to avoid the traffic issue is to maybe possibly take the monorail over to these events. I mean, I think a lot of people that I know kind of use that strategy now just to avoid mainly traffic. Just park somewhere, you know, far away, get on the monorail, take it over to, you know, the nearest casino and just walk over. It's very convenient. But yeah, pedestrian bridge, it's huge. And I wish we could get more of those on the Strip, honestly. I thought that for a long time. It can be a dangerous place. I mean, we've seen the stories over the years that, you know, sometimes there are bad accidents and those could be avoided if everyone could just avoid walking across the street.
Yeah, I've wondered that also, why there aren't more. I guess this is going to be the 17th pedestrian bridge on the Strip, which seems like, I didn't realize there were that many, but in my mind, it's all about going across Las Vegas Boulevard, and you have to remember there's other bridges that go across Spring Mountain or what have you, Flamingo, Tropicana.
Well, right. But those are equally important.
Yeah. This one in front of Park MGM is expected to open in July. Seems like maybe they should have built that one before the arena opened. That would have been good planning.
Probably. Probably.
Who are we to question?
Nope.
Civic
nope.
planners. I don't know what I'm talking about.
My main concern right now is how we're going to handle the traffic problem with the stadium.
Yeah, that's a whole other ballgame.
That's another podcast.
Mm-hmm. And then one other kind of news item from over the weekend, kind of a sad one for me. Chef Rick Moonen closed his RM Seafood restaurant after 14 years at Mandalay Bay. He also had a restaurant upstairs there called Rick's Boiler Room.
That was very surprising to me, I have to be honest.
Yeah, there's been reports that he just couldn't get the lease that he needed to stay in that space. So if you're not familiar, it's actually the shops at Mandalay Place right there.
That's correct.
But it's like right next to House of Blues, right when you walk into that.
You're basically still in Mandalay Bay if you were to go to Rick's restaurants. Yeah.
Pretty great location and really a great restaurant.
Oh, wonderful food. Yeah.
I think some
great concepts too. I mean, the way he makes you kind of rethink food is a lot of fun. Or it was a lot of fun, I guess.
Yeah, and Moonen is rare in that he was one of the only celebrity chefs to actually live in Las Vegas, like make Las Vegas his home. He really was a big part of the culinary community here. He did a ton of charity work. And I shouldn't talk about him like he's gone, because he's not going anywhere. He's staying here. He said he's planning to. He's already been working on an off-strip restaurant.
And I'm just hoping it's somewhere near where I live in Henderson. That's my main hope right now. Now, we did a Q&A with Rick and his wife a few years ago for Valentine's Day, and they could not have been sweeter. I mean, they were just very friendly people. It's sad. But hopefully this is just a quick glitch, and he's back, and everything's fine, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, one of the good guys in the scene for sure, and we wish him all the luck in his next projects. And it's going to be interesting to see what might take the place of that was a big restaurant space, two stories. The downstairs was huge. They had a lot of special events and like convention groups in that restaurant. That was a favorite of that crowd as well. So big space to fill, big shoes to fill at Mandalay Bay.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's safe to say that his space there remained very relevant the entire time it was there, and that's not easy to do. If you know anything about this town, that's a feat.
I mean, 14 years is to have the same restaurant in the same location on the Strip is, that hasn't happened very much.
Nope. So all I can say is, Rick, if you're listening, can't wait to eat at your next restaurant. So.
Okay, what is taking over the Strip this week? We're just coming off a weekend in which we had the Professional Bull Riders World Finals and the Las Vegas Rock and Roll Marathon happening at the exact same time. That's a pretty crazy one. We're kind of moving into, if there is such a thing as a slow season in Las Vegas, which there is not.
Not really.
But the closest thing is kind of between Thanksgiving and Christmas. There's a, fewer conventions and a little bit less traffic, but still a lot going on. Right now, the largest cannabis industry conference in the world is happening as we speak at the Las Vegas Convention Center.
Yep.
It's the National Marijuana Business Conference, continuing through the 16th. And that is not, you know, obviously this industry is new to Las Vegas, but that convention has been around for at least 5 years. And I think that they were expecting to have 25,000 attendees this year. So it just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Wow.
I know there's a big Thursday night party at Hakkasan, so I'm sure they will be taking the place over. And then another giant convention event.
At the same location.
Happening at this at the Las Vegas Convention Center. How do they fit all this stuff in the same? It's
well,
amazing.
Well, quick number I'm going to hit your listeners with. And this shocked me, but this is actually true. If you do the math, there are literally dozens of conventions in Las Vegas every single day. Mm-hmm. Every day.
I mean, it's true.
Think about that. So anyway.
Not all of them have 15,000 attendees like this one does.
Very true, but...
But there's so much going on during the week in Las Vegas. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that you were about to refer to the Mecum car show, which we actually have featured in this week's issue. And I'm looking right now at the feature spread that we did in front of me, and these cars are just... I mean, this is like... Every car that I've dreamed of owning is on these pages. It's amazing. If you are any kind of a car fan, this is where you want to be. It's unreal. I mean, we do have other car conventions in town, and they're great. But Mecum is they really are they're the real deal. So if you want to have some fun and just, you know, maybe even hey, go bid on something. Go for it. It's who's to say you can't. So that is at the Las Vegas Convention Center. It's November 15th through 17th, and you can get in for $30.
It's like a show, you know. It is a classic car auction, but there's so much more to it. There's a lot of family friendly element to it. There's just a lot going on.
Yeah.
In speaking of shows, this weekend there are several residencies and mini residencies that are kind of wrapping up their current runs. They've been doing this for the last 2 or 3 weeks, and now they're wrapping it up. Diana Ross at Wynn, Cher at Park MGM, Blink-182 at the Palms, and Barry Manilow at Westgate.
Who you just wrote about for our magazine.
That's right. That's a great show, actually.
A wonderful show. Honestly, I'm going to take a quick aside because it's worth noting. I mean, I've been to more shows here than I can really remember, and the Manilow show was, from start to finish, probably in terms of crowd participation, the most energetic show I've ever been to. It was just incredible. The energy is amazing. He gets people going. Everyone loves his music, and you can say you don't like it, but you're lying. Come on. you love it. So anyway, it'll be nice to see him come back next year. And if you haven't been to the concert, you definitely should check it out.
I was going to say the same thing. I mean, the thing that makes these kinds of headliner shows in Vegas right now, the thing that makes those experiences great is the fans. You know, they're paying a lot of money for these tickets most times, and they are passionate about the artist that they're going to see. And there's nobody has a more passionate fan base than Barry Manilow.
It's kind of hard insane to argue after seeing that.
One of the more interesting shows, I guess, was originally planned for this weekend and got pushed back was An Evening with the Clintons at Park Theater. That was supposed to happen on the 18th. If you didn't see, it was rescheduled, pushed all the way back to May 5th at Park Theater. Schedule conflict, I don't know. I don't really know what that is going to be like either. But it's worth noting that that is not happening this weekend. You're going to have to wait to hang out with Bill and Hillary until May 5th. For other weekend information stuff, you're going to want to check out my Best Bets column. comes out every Friday at LasVegasSun.com. I think that's going to do it for this week for the Sun on the Strip. Ken Miller, thanks again for helping me out.
Man, we're already done.
I know. It went by so quickly. Maybe we should just keep talking. No?
Well, can if you want.
We'll save it for the next time around. Thank you for listening. If you have any strip questions that need answers, send them my way. It's pretty easy to find me. You can find my name all over these GMG websites. Just click on my name on the article that you're reading, and that'll take you to the place that you can email me or call me. Email is better. And let me know. Let me know what you want to know about the Las Vegas Strip, and we will tackle that the next time around. Obviously, for the best strip coverage in the business, keep your eyes on us at Las Vegas Weekly Magazine, Las Vegas Magazine, and, of course, the Las Vegas Sun at LasVegasSun.com. See you next week.